You're listening to the EFCA Theology Podcast, which exists to help pastors and church leaders stay passionate about the gospel and faithful to the scriptures.
We in the Free Church are committed to the inspired, inerrant, authoritative, and sufficient Word of God. We are grounded in the gospel. We are tethered to the text of Scripture. We also affirm the need to be born again. And taking our lead from the Lord Jesus, in John 3, we affirm that truth. Our evangelical history and heritage is as a gospel people, both in doctrine and in practice. That is to say, we affirm that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing more, nothing less. But we also affirm that we have been saved for good works. Good works are not the basis of justification, they are the fruit of it. We recognize this in our history, in a statement of faith in 1912. 1950, we didn't, so that in our 2008 revision of our statement of faith, here we are, we added this once again. And here's what it says. We will confess this corporately tomorrow. We believe that God's justifying grace must not be separated from his sanctifying power and purpose. God commands us to love him supremely and others sacrificially, and to live out our faith with care for one another, compassion for the poor, and justice for the oppressed. With God's word, the Spirit's power, and fervent prayer in Christ's name, we are to combat the spiritual forces of evil. In obedience to Christ's commission, we are to make disciples among all people, always sent some time, at least 10 years, that we ought to address this article. Primarily because it's been a recent addition, at least 10 years, though it's more reflective of our history and what we would believe is taught in the Scripture. Now, within this specific statement itself, there are numerous things that we could address, multiple issues. But in the midst of all of these multiple issues that we could address, we will focus in this conference on two key issues of which all ought to be aware. That is of racial reconciliation and immigration. Friends, you know as you get up every Sunday morning that there has been, generally speaking, another incident during that week that could co-opt the sermon so that you could address only that issue. Now, we can't do that. We do need to address those issues. We don't set aside our text. We may need to preach a different sermon from the text, but we could do that all the time. Let me just give you a couple of examples, and let me say this. When I read these bullet points, it's gonna create something in all of you because we lived it, and each of us experienced it or felt it differently than maybe another. But when you hear these, let me remind you of the singular voice that we sang, the singular voice that we recited Scripture together, the singular voice in which we recited the Nicene Creed. There's one new community. Ferguson, 2014, the shooting of Michael Brown by a police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. The emergence and election of President Trump. Charlottesville, white supremacy, Confederate memorials. Kneeling during the national anthem. Deferred action for childhood arrivals and the Dreamers Bill. All are real. All are politicized. All are causing divisions. Added to this is the question of white evangelicalism. Brothers and sisters, God in his word has something to say about this. God, the Holy Spirit, has created a new humanity that is to live as citizens of a heavenly city in the here and now. So we look at Article 8, Christian living, justification and sanctification, love God supremely and others sacrificially. compassion, and justice. Following the flow of Article 8, we chose the theme of this conference for multiple reasons. First, it is important to address this historically. Friends, compassion and justice was at the heart, it's taught biblically, but it was at the heart of the rise of Christianity in the early church. Read Rodney Stark's The Rise of Christianity. Or for another, evangelicals of the 18th and 19th centuries, who could overlook or forget William Wilberforce and the Clapham sect? If you've not heard of the Clapham sect, read about it. Or even in our own EFCA and EFCA ministries of medical ministries, medical missionaries that go way back, children's ministries, and they were orphanages at the beginning, ministries to elderly, ministries to immigrants and refugees and women and the trafficked. And we would know them today as compassion ministries or Touch Global Crisis Response and Asia Justice Initiatives and Immigrant Hope. Or even think of some EFCA resolutions. 1989, a resolution on ethnic ministries. 1992, the new racism. Remember historically where we are now, 1992. Remember when Rodney King and what happened in the wake of that? We made a resolution, adopted a resolution in the wake of that. 1995, our resolve for reconciliation, paralleled from the National Association of Evangelicals. That same year, a call to the churches to intentional reconciliation. 1996, immigration. Friends, I read those things and I'm encouraged. And yet then I think to myself, so what's different? What's changed? Has that resolution been lived out? Second, this topic, as all topics, must not only be understood historically, but also be centered in the scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, these issues, compassion and justice, are now they are trendy. But long after the trend passes, we remain faithful to the scriptures and committed to compassion and justice as fruit-bearing of the gospel. Some treatments of this issue contain little to no biblical grounding and are more culturally or sociologically driven. But on the other hand, often too many evangelicals consider this topic a matter of indifference. It is both a critical moment and a critical topic to address, biblically and theologically and historically and pastorally. Third, based on the present day cultural context and pastoral necessity, it is necessary to address this article and these topics. Gospel transformed believers who are empowered to live as members in the kingdom of God here and now and remain committed for the duration. We are not culturally driven. We live in the world, but not of the world. And as we're committed for the duration, God's gospel transforms people that impact culture and institutions as we live out the command of doing justice, of loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. Fourth, the ground of addressing this theme is justification and sanctification, with acknowledgement that, as we state in the statement of faith, God's justifying grace must not be separated from his sanctifying power and purpose. Friends, when one studies theology, it's appropriate to study and discuss these two doctrines separately. That is, you isolate them to study them. But experientially, the two doctrines, though not one and the same, they're related. Friends, they go together. And I think this has grave implications in how we understand truth and how we understand the Christian life and how we understand love for God and how we understand love for others. Friends, the church's history on this issue has far too many examples of the pendulum and bifurcation such that those who professed faith in Christ and those who submitted to the authority of the Bible, but they lived inconsistently with these truths. For example, some owned slaves and believed wrongly, but they believed it was sanctioned by the scriptures. Some do not care for the orphan, the widow, the abused, the marginalized, the immigrant, the other, the neighbor. Fifth, The specific focus of sanctification in our Christian lives will be on God's command to love him supremely and others sacrificially, and to live out our faith with care for one another, compassion toward the poor, and justice for the oppressed. This is living out Jesus' command. What's the greatest command? Love God. Love others. Sixth, one of the specific issues to address as we live out our faith, that faith that we profess that transforms us also is the faith by which we live. We live it out. Is that of compassion toward the poor and justice for the oppressed. And as we've stated, two key issues are race, reconciliation, and immigration. They're not the same, but they're two key issues that we are faced with today. As we have written in Evangelical Convictions, when thinking of ministries of compassion and justice, the church has often vacillated between two extremes, either focusing on the physical needs of people while assuming or neglecting the spiritual, or seeing people only as souls to be saved and disregarding their tangible suffering in this world. Well, added to this is the politicizing of these issues and the politics surrounding these discussions and decisions. Friends, living in the tension between the now and the not yet of God's final and ultimate rule, this is one of the ways in which the enemy undermines the outworking of the gospel that has transformed us and which we proclaim. That gospel is being tarnished and undermined through the lack of reconciliation among believers and the lack of care and concern for the immigrant. Grounded in God's word, guided by the Spirit's power, and praying and working in Christ's name, this is one of the ways we must combat the spiritual forces of evil. This is a gospel issue. And this is a matter of a spiritual battle, in that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And finally, this issue is not just an issue out there, but one we must address within the EFCA. As people grounded in the gospel and tethered to the text, as those who have been justified and are being sanctified or transformed in this specific area, we are committed to make disciples among all people, always bearing witness to the gospel in word and deed. And brothers and sisters, this both adorns the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel, and it carries the fragrance of Christ. Now, I'm just going to tell you the messages. These are the seven messages we will have with gifted people that I'm so grateful that they are able to join us. They have a word to say to us. Biblical and theological foundations and a gospel frame for understanding compassion and justice, the cross, and racial reconciliation. Jarvis Williams will bring that message to us this evening. The first message tomorrow morning, Doug Sweeney, a professor of our school, Trinity, expert in American church history, will address miles to go before we sleep, American evangelicals and racial and ethnic partiality, focusing on right steps and missteps. The next message will be American evangelical history, miles walked, and a lived history. That is, John Perkins is 87 years old. I'm grateful all of our speakers are here, but I have to say, especially for John, I'm so looking forward to hear him share with us. The next message will be Carl Ellis bringing us a word on the gospel, Martin Luther King Jr., contextual theology, and evangelicalism. If you haven't heard Carl, you will be encouraged and challenged by him. Our next message will be immigration and the people of God, a biblical foundation, Danny Carroll. Danny will join us via video. It is recorded, and then he will join us for a Q&A live, either via Skype or the phone. Our First message on Friday morning will be Peter Chaw, again, a professor of Trinity, a holistic ministry of compassion and justice, biblical foundation, sociological analysis, and pastoral leadership. And the final message will we give to John Perkins again, the final apologetic, love, and the struggle we must win. So friends, in conclusion and transition, saying a few brief comments on expectations is both important and helpful. Coming in with expectations, and I'm guessing, friends, we all have come with certain expectations. But it's important you hear our expectations. So that if they're slightly different, you don't end up frustrated or embittered. So let's just identify some of them, and so we know where we're going. I've listed five. One, each of us will come with certain lens and perspectives, but dear friends, be assured we will learn from each other as theology is best done and lived in community. Second, there are issues you think ought to be addressed that may not be. Well, there are issues that are addressed that you wonder, why are they included? With humility, let's be prepared to listen and learn from all. Third, for some, what is done here will not be enough. It'll feel like you're taking a step backwards. While for others, it feels like a step too far. Don't pull too fast. We will not despise the day of small beginnings. Fourth, among some, there is racial fatigue. Another corporate repentance with another verse of Kumbaya does not do it. We recognize this. We know people are at various stages on the journey. And fifth, by God's empowering presence and his transforming grace, here's my loving exhortation. Stay at the relational and communication table as we, being led and guided by the Spirit, seek to discern, so what? What's next after Kumbaya? What must we do next to live this out, to manifest the gospel in the church? Friends, it's always true that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. And yet we are especially aware that this conference is one in which the enemy would love to kill, steal, and destroy. One in which the beast will make war on the saints, those from every tribe and people and language and nations. He will do any and everything to work against the one new humanity that God has created through the work of the Spirit and applied by his Son. Applied by the Holy Spirit. The work of the Son applied by the Spirit. God has created one new humanity. And this family continues to grow. And in this family, we are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We acknowledge this is not an entity we create, but rather something God creates, and we are eager and committed to work it out. As we live out this new life in Christ, individually and corporately, this is a testimony to the enemy that God triumphs. And it's a testimony because it's an aroma of Christ to those with whom we live. One of the results of God creating one new humanity is so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. We, the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, reflect and manifest what and who we truly are in Christ. I am so thankful for every one of you here. we together manifest and live out the reality of those who have been ransomed by the blood of Christ from every tribe and language and people and nation. We are an outpost of heaven, a manifestation of the end time, eschatological people of God. What we will become, we have become. As the kingdom has come in the person and work of Christ, the now, his rule and reign are embraced and lived out by those who have received Christ by faith, and the kingdom will come, the not yet, when he returns in glory. And until then, we rest in his work and what he's done, but we will work eagerly to maintain that unity of spirit and the bond of peace with the whole new community. So, it didn't make it. I was going to have us pray this together. Here it is. Having been justified, tethered to the text of scriptures, grounded in the gospel, our prayer for this conference is this. May we be open to what the Lord will teach us. May we be humble in our posture of listening and learning. May we be broken in love. May we persevere through the difficult and challenging conversations. May we be hopeful and expectant in what God will do as we keep in step with the Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the EFCA Theology Podcast. You can find more episodes by searching EFCA Theology Podcast in any podcast app or on the web at efca.org/podcast.